So today I want to, we're going to spend a little time on last week's parsha, on Achrei Mot, because being that we're in Eretz Yisrael, this is one of the more important resources in the Torah, one of the important sources vis-a-vis the nature of Eretz Yisrael and the land of Israel, and why we do what we do. Okay, so we're going to go back to Perek Yud Chet and just read up, I guess, a couple of them. Start from the beginning, I guess, of Perek Yud Chet, and then we'll skip. Okay, because the end of Achrei Mot and the end of Kedoshim, so I guess it could be a little bit on this week's parasha as well, really relate to very similar notions. Okay, so beginning of Yud Chet starts the following. Perek Yud Chet. Okay, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor. Daber b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'amartah aleihem, ani Hashem elokechem. I am the Lord thy God. Ki ma'asei eretz Mitzrayim asher hashavtem la, lo tasu. Uchamase Eretz Kenan, Asherani Meviatchem Shama, lo tasu. Ubuchukotehem, lo telechu. You came from Egypt, you're going to the land of Canaan, don't do like they say. Right? Okay? In what area? Sexuality. Sexuality. Et Mishpatai Tasu, we'll see in a second. Ve'etchukotai Tishberu la lechet behem. Ani Hashem Elokechem, you shall follow my statutes and do my chukot. I am Hashem your God. Pasuk Hey. Ushmartem et chukotai vet mishvatai asher ya'aseh ha'adam otam ha'adam v'chai bahem. Ani Hashem Elokechem. Okay. And you shall guard my commandments and my statutes that a person shall do v'chai bahem. What is v'chai bahem?
And live by them.
And you shall live by them. Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am Hashem your God. Okay. Now, how do we normally interpret v'chai bahem? V'chai bahem? What? Very good. V'chai bahem, v'lo shiyamut bahem. Normally, we see the word, it's very interesting. V'chai bahem, that there's a commandment that the statutes, the mitzvot of the Torah, are given to enhance life. Right? To give us a reason to live. Meaning, and the Chazal normally interpret this statute, the mitzvah, v'chai bahem, to mean, let's say, chas v'shalom, a person's life is in danger and he has to eat pork. That'll save his life. So what do? You eat. Why? Because again, the Torah is v'chai bahem v'lo shiyamut bahem. Look at Rashi here. What does it say, v'chai bahem? It says Rashi, v'chai bahem, on Pasuk Hei, v'chai bahem, l'olam haba. She'im tomar ba'olam hazeh. Because if you say, in this world, v'halo, so fohumet. Everybody dies. So if everybody dies, how can you say the mitzvot are v'chai bahem? That it brings you life. So Rashi does not, the learning out of v'chai bahem, v'lo shiyamut bahem is not here. The v'chai bahem appears in other places as well. But it's just interesting to know that Rashi could have easily said v'chai bahem. And I think Rashi was saying also, like, we're in the context, we're going to see, this parak is the context of arayot. Arayot is not one of the mitzvot where it says v'chai bahem. Right? Because we know that if a person has the choice of, let's say, for example, he can save his life by violating one of the arayot. Right? May he do so? No. Giloy arayot is one of the mitzvot, one of the three big ones, one of the big three, as we say, that a person has to give up their life and not violate the arayot. And some poskim even talk about that in the context of not only arayot, but abizrayu the arayot. It's a very, very famous shayla, a very famous, like, discussion, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says there was a man who had a desire for a certain woman. And so the doctor said if he would live with this woman, he wouldn't die. Otherwise he would die. He would just, you know, keel over. So the Rabbanim said, sorry. So they said, okay, well, maybe you could just, like, look at her. And the Rabbanim said, sorry. And they said, well, why don't we put her behind a screen and she talks? You know, and if he just listens to her, maybe that'll let go. And Rabbanim said, sorry. You know, so the Ran in Sanhedrin uses that as a makor, just to say that not only are arayot part of the big three, but even abizrayu de arayot. Abizrayu means extensions or what? Like, how do you say abizrayu? Subsidiaries, corollaries of arayot, ar yaharog val yavor, which really gives us a lot to think about in the in the sexuality-saturated culture in which we find ourselves. I will just say as an aside, when I went back to the States for my walkabout, trying to convince people to come here, I spent a month there, and I thank God that I live where I live. Only because, like, you go and you realize just how all... You're bombarded with it, but in very, very graphic ways. Now, in Israel, they have it. They have it, but not really. Not at the same degree, not even close.
It's because you live in Yapin.
No. Go look at the billboards on the road, on the side of the road in America.
Because the Haredim, like, as much as we...
Correct.
Because the Haredim will boycott any company that uses inappropriate...
Correct.
But on television, they don't watch television. But if you were to watch even regular Channel 1 and Channel 2, the commercials can be very graphic.
Yes.
Or if you go to a movie...
So I don't.
Okay. Right. I don't know either, but
I agree with you. In America, there was I found that after 9 o'clock, they were showing, like, bad stuff. But here, we went to a hotel, and my kids were, like, flipping, like, at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
And the stuff that they were showing, I don't think it was Israeli. I think it was from Europe.
Sure.
But the content of the stuff there was, even, like, heavy.
But even the commercials, like, just you're watching the news, and they put on a commercial. And
I think it's a European.
The Super Bowl commercials.
But not even on commercials, on products. You're in a supermarket and you look at a yogurt that's advertised. Do you know what I mean? On the box that goes over.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so let's just read on. So now that we know this, Ani v'chayvahem does not apply in that context. Now let's move on. Skip a little bit, and you can imagine the list of forbidden relationships you're not allowed to have: your sister, your brother, your mother, your daughter, your mother's mother, your mother's sister, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so let's just skip to Chaf Bet. Skip to verse 22. Okay, so we're going to get to the Ramban because this is the context is very interesting. Says the Torah, "Ve'etzachar lo tishka mishkevei isha toivahi." This is the very famous verse that either you believe is still true, or maybe the Torah really didn't mean it. And you cannot, men are not homosexuality. The homosexual act is prohibited. Slicha, toivahi. It is an abomination. U'b'chol behemar lo shiten shchavtecha letam aba. So is bestiality. Ve'isha lo tamo lifnei behemar liriv'a tevel hu. Either way, bestiality is prohibited. It's tevel. It's considered an abomination, disgusting, however you want to say it. Okay, chaf dalet. You with me? Yud chet chaf dalet. Al titam'u b'chol ele. Do not defy yourselves with all of these things. Why? Ki b'chol ele nitmu'u hagoyim asher ani mishaleach mikneichen. Because in all of these things, the nations that I am sending forth from before you defiled themselves. And what happened? Chaf hei. Vatitma ha'aretz, and they defiled the land. Va'afkod avona aleha, and I placed her sins on her. Vataki ha'aretz et yoshreha, and the land, that's the word vataki, laki, you all as mothers know what this is?
Regurgitated.
Throw up. To vomit, right, that's laki, right? Regurgitate?
No.
Right.
We get both varieties.
And we get
them out of both.
All right, okay. It's a very, very graphic word. Right? Okay. Let's just read on.
Who's the she?
Vataki ha'aretz.
No. Batit ma'aretz
efkot
avona aleha.
Avona, her sins on her. I don't know. I thought it meant the land. Avona. Avon. Meaning.
Oh, because they gave the
Eretz
land.
Eretz is usually.
Into the land?
Yes.
Yeah. But there's nothing.
Okay.
But imagine it this way, right? That your inappropriate behavior is like a virus. Okay? And so when the virus inhabits the organism, right? So it can't sustain that organism, it can't function. So what does it do? It gets rid of it. It has to get it out.
Out of its system.
Okay? It's a very, very, very stark, very powerful image. Okay? So therefore, don't do that. And you may not do any of these abominations. Why? Kiet kol toevot ta'el. It says it again. All of these abominations to God. Asu anshe aretz atel lifneichem batitma ha'aretz. All of your predecessors did these things. And v'lo taki ha'aretz etchem b'tamachem otcha kasher ka'a et ha'goyim asher lifneichem. And I don't want what happened to them, what's going to happen to them, to happen to you. Right? And you don't want to be vomited out. Kiet kol asher yaseh mikol ha'toevot ta'ele. Because people who do these abominations, they will be cut off from their land, from their nation. You shall guard my statutes. Right? So it's a very interesting combination. The one man Hashem says, listen, this is against the Torah. These are prohibited. These behaviors are totally usur. But that's one on the one hand. But on the other hand, you should understand that these behaviors have consequences. Like just real world consequences. And I don't want that to happen to you. Just the language. I'm telling you. Right, this is the nature of the world. Like, you tell your child, don't eat that. Right? It's not that I'm not forbidding you. I say don't eat it. But I'm telling you, if you eat it, you will throw up. And what does the kid do? He eats it, and what happens? Throws up. Right? I told you.
If you're lucky.
What?
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, right? Right. Well.
I didn't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that sometimes we tell our children that something will happen and it doesn't happen.
Oh, I see what you mean. Right.
If you eat a lot of too much junk, then you'll feel sick. I don't feel sick.
Right. Okay. So, but what's obviously fascinating is, like, what is Israel? What does it sound like here? Well, I mean, the way the Torah describes Eretz Israel.
Living, breathing, reacting, responding.
Right. You imagine it's like this organism.
Being.
What?
Another being.
It's alive. Doesn't it sound like it's alive?
No.
It's not, meaning you don't really think of, like, how does the land vomit something out?
Sandstorms?
No, but it's a land. It's a place to live. You live there or you don't live there. How does it have any ability to decide what it likes and what it doesn't like?
Like, that's like what we saw, the revival of the land with the Aliyah. Like, the people had tried to work the land for years and years and years, and it didn't give anything, and didn't return, and didn't respond.
Like, where is that from, by the way? You know where that comes from? In the Torah. Well, I don't know if it's in the, I think it's in the Tochacha, that says that, I will, the Aretz, like, it will be desolate for as long as you're not on the land, or something like that. Isn't it in the Torah?
I just always interpret the paragraph of Ahayim Shema, like, all the promises of the results of the land.
Mm-hmm. If you keep the mitzvah.
Then, so, first of all, clearly one of the mitzvahs is coming to inhabit the land.
Right.
So that's one of the primary.
See, but in Shema is a little different, because in Shema, then it says that it's Hashem. Like, and we can really, it's easy for us to relate to Hashem. Like, okay, and Hashem says, V'natati mitar artzechem b'itom. Like, okay, if we are in the land and we do the mitzvah, then Hashem says, okay, then I'll reward you. And then we can understand. And Hashem says, He'll give, and Hashem gives, Hashem takes away. Right. Right. Here it's an organic response. It's not that Hashem says, and I will drive you out. The land will drive you out. And this is a black and white in the Torah. That Eretz, you know what I'm saying? That the land itself has an identity. It has a nature. It has, like, a genetic makeup, like a spiritual makeup.
Responding towards our actions.
Right.
The people who wrote Lost must have read this.
What's that?
So the people who wrote Lost must have read this.
Must have read this? Yeah. Probably all religious Jews, I guess. Yeah. Why? Is the island alive? Is that part of the thing?
The island knows what it wants and gets what it wants.
And kills them.
Yeah.
Really?
Judges people, judges people.
Yes.
Sounds like Eretz Israel.
I'm taking it to TV show.
It's a TV show.
Not that I'm not educated, but it sounds like it.
It's one of these shows that I refuse to get into, thank God. Like, you have no idea. If you don't know, you don't want to know. Yeah, it's best.
I'm sorry.
It's best that you're still back in the old CCA business. Yeah. Okay, and so the question we all have to ask ourselves is, what do you do with that? Like, is Israel alive? Is Eretz Israel alive?
It is, because that's funny. Every time I used to come to Israel before I lived here, I said to Johnny, every time I come to Eretz Israel, I feel alive. And when I leave, I feel like empty.
Ah, one second. that's beautiful. And I don't negate that. Is the land alive? Yeah, I mean, like, it makes me think of, like you said, like Lost, like one of these Star, like there's an old Star Trek, you know, and they land on some planet, and all of a sudden, like, you know, they don't understand what's happening. It turns out the planet is really some kind of organism or something, and, you know, they have to, like, make contact with it. You know what I mean? Like, the land has an identity. The land has a personality.
Think of the soul of a Jew connecting with the land. It's the two of them. Because when somebody else comes, they don't feel the same energies. It's both of them together.
I think that there's a machloket. I remember one I went to share many years ago between Rav Kook and Rav Soloveitchik. Like, does a stone in Israel have kedusha?
Uh-huh.
You know, is it that we, because we go to the Kotel and daven there, we make it a kedush place? Or do the stones have inherent kedusha?
Who is it? What was the professor's name who I had this huge argument with? What's his name? That professor from Haifa who stayed at our house. Oh, well, we had this big argument. He said pure Maimonidean, and I'm sure that the Rav in this year took the Maimonidean approach, that Kedusha is the holiness within which we infuse something, as opposed to having inherent Kedusha. Whereas I believe, I'm more of a spiritual Kabbalist, as it were, and I believe that things have inherent Kedusha. The only question you have to ask is, what would the Rambam do with this pasuk, with it black and white in the Torah? Velo takia, meaning, what the Rambam would have to say is that Hashem is using imagery in order to sort of personify the land, in order to really give us a sense of it, even though it's not really accurately factual.
Right.
That's what you would have to say. That it's an imagery that says that the land will spit you out, even though it really means that Hashem will kick you out
right.
of his land.
Or what would Rav Soloveitchik say about this?
Probably that.
But what does he do with the pasuk when Yaakov
Hashem has designated this as his special place, and therefore you must treat it more special. There's no answer to this question.
But it's different from your actions that made it special, because in that case there were no actions at that stage yet to make the place kadosh.
There was. It was the Evan Ashtiyah where the world was created from.
But there wasn't man's action, it was Hashem's action.
Hashem designated it. Hashem said, this is special.
But it's the same thing with the
name. This is a different discussion, but a very fascinating one. Let's say, this was a Kadosh cup, right? You know, it belonged to the Beit HaMikdash. It was Hegdish, okay? If I had a Kedusha meter, if I could create a Kedusha meter, right, you know, would it, by definition, would it measure, would there be a theoretical way of measuring that this is a Kadosh cup? Or, no, like, you know, Dr. Kellner or the Rav or the Rambam would say, there's no such thing as a Kedusha meter. It's not even theoretically possible. It doesn't exist. Kedusha, it's Kadosh because it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. Because we assigned it a level of Kedusha. Right, because we are the Mekadesh.
Right.
The answer is there's no answer. Those are, you know, there are two factors. But I personally see this pasuk not as what's the word called? Personification, is it? I don't see it that way. I think that the Torah means what it says. That Eretz Yisrael, and it's very difficult for us to understand or for us to relate to in that way, but I think that that's okay. The fact that we don't understand it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true.
No.
Right? That there is a being called Eretz Yisrael, and that it has a personality, that Hashem gave it a nature, and that it has it has its own nutritional needs. And apparently, one of its very most important nutritional needs is Am Yisrael doing mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. And then it grows. And if Am Yisrael isn't in Eretz Yisrael, it withers. Right? It doesn't grow. Like any living organism. Not to say, you could say that it's like a plant life, or, you know, it's like, you know, or whatever you want to say it, but it's thinking of Eretz Yisrael as a living being certainly changes your attitude towards it, in a sense. Like, how you relate to it. Okay, so now we turn to the Ramban, the comment to the Ramban. Ramban was probably, if he lived in today's day and age, where I work at Orot, they put up a beautiful little, like, display, which I think that we need more of, which are the Rabbanei, the Tnuat Tzionut Datit, you know, the rabbis who are the leaders of the religious Zionist movement. And it starts with Rav Kalischer, and the Nitziv, and Rav Kook, and you know, Rav Charlap, and Rav, you know, there's a bunch of Rabbanim, like 6-7 Rabbanim that I think that we should we need to promote more of, you know, we need people to be more aware of the great Gedolim who were the leaders of our, you know, of our movement, as it were. And if you ask me, one of the beginnings would definitely have to have been the Ramban. I mean, the Ramban was clearly, from how, all of his writings, however you want to say it, he didn't exist when he wrote it, but he was the Detzi Tzioni. Right, he was.
He made all the seven days.
Right, I mean.
Which is unbelievable.
It's interesting that he didn't get on that list. He should, you know, campaign to claim his... okay.
Because he listed in one of the mitzvot.
Yes, Ramban also, just so you know, he is the famous gloss on the Rambam. The Rambam writes a book of Sefer Mitzvot, a list of the mitzvot. And in the book of the mitzvot, the Ramban writes a commentary on that, saying all the mitzvot the Rambam forgot. There's like 20 of them. Okay, the fourth is the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. The Ramban feels that Yishuv Haaretz was a mitzvah asei d'oraita, and then, you know, all the shiurim that you all had to sit through in seminary about why does the Ramban hold it's a mitzvah, does he not hold it's a mitzvah, is it a mitzvah kiyumi, it's a mitzvah, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But the Ramban felt that it was a mitzvah, and he writes so. Okay, so, and this all comes out from his writings. Look at the Ramban, for those of you who have it, most of you have it, on Pasuk Chafhei. Okay. Batitma ha'aretz va'afkod avuna alea bataki ha'aretz. Hichmir ha'katuv ba'arayot. So he said, why specifically arayot? Ba'avur ha'aretz. Because of the land. Shetitma bahen. That it would become defiled. Bataki ha'nefashot ha'osot. And it will vomit out the people who are doing these behaviors. V'hine ha'arayot chovat ha'guf. He says, a second. Right. We think, in general, of two types of mitzvot. Mitzvot ha-tzluyot ba'aretz, and mitzvot that are not tzluyot ba'aretz. So we can all relate to understand, well, there are certain mitzvot that, okay, you know, or, you know, you'll say, trumot, and ma'asrot, and shemitah. Those are mitzvot that have specifically relevance to the land, they're important to the land. But these mitzvot have nothing to do with the land. So why in the world does the Torah connect these mitzvot to the land? What the Torah should say is, these are horrible things. They are the degradation of society. They are the essence of immorality, and don't do them. Like, what the heck do they have to do with Eretz Yisrael? He says the following. Aval sod hadavar. By the way, that word sod, what does that tell you, sod? What?
Kabbalistic.
Yeah, now we're getting into things which either you know, I can't explain them to you. Not that I won't, right? I can't. I don't really, you know, I don't claim to know Kabbalah, and if I did, then I wouldn't tell you anyway.
It'd be a
sound. What? It'd be a sound, right. But now you get into things, and this is one of the tricky parts of like a lot of the study of Eretz Yisrael. You have to let them sort of wash over you, in a sense. Like, we are trained in a very rigorous intellectual way. You know, I'll explain it to you, there are reasons for everything. And when you get into these sort of understandings, like of Eretz Yisrael as an organism, and areas in this nature, it isn't a question of, I can prove this to you, and this is, it's more a question of trying to sort of open your mind to these ideas. And you have to expose yourself to them, and you have to sort of let them percolate, as it were, and wash over you. And the more you allow it to happen, the more you can sort of soak it in, as it were. It's a very different way of learning than we're normally accustomed to. And at least in personal experience, when you first encounter these kinds of ideas, you rebuff them. You can't prove that to me. And you know, I've always been trained that, you know, there's a pasuk, and there's a raya. You know what I'm saying? In a second, in a sense, very much so. Yeah, exactly. You have to really do that. Okay. Shbakatuv she'amar, as it says, Hanchel elyon goyim, when God, Hanchel means to
give out real estate,
thank you. Elyon goyim, what is elyon? Above the nations, exalted. Ba'afrido b'nei adam, he separated mankind. Yatsev gvulot amim, he will dwell above the gvulot amim, the boundaries of nations, ki chelek Hashem amo, because the inheritance of God, of Hashem, the part of Hashem, is his nation. This is a pasuk from Ha'azinu. Remember, Hazinu, what's Hazinu? It's a poem. Right? We have no idea what most of Hazinu really means. Because that's what poetry is. It's very hard to interpret. V'ha'inyan. This is what it means. Ki Hashem ha'nichbad bara hakol. God created everything. V'sam koach hatachtonim ve'elyonim. And he placed the koach, the power of the tachtonim, of that which is below, in elyonim, in that which is above. V'natan al kol am ve'am be'artzotam l'goyehem kochav u'mazal yadua. And he placed above every nation, according to their country, a star, what's a mazal? A constellation that is well known. Kasher yad no da be'itzagninut, as is known in itzagninut, in astronomy.
Astrology.
Okay. This is, by the way, not astrology of, you know, Madam Fifi that you call up on the 1-900 number. Okay? But astrology is how shall we say, is solidly entrenched in Jewish tradition. Solidly entrenched. If you ever, if you look carefully, you'll see there are slichot we say that we refer to.
It's correct. You know,
it's right. But you don't really, how shall we say this? This is something we kind of gloss over very often. We don't really talk about this very much. But astrology is all over the place.
The question is how much of it was the influence of the going around them? Like today, most people in Harvard
would say,
I'm not going to check the Machzor votes in order to figure out if there is, I don't know, a depression coming.
Right.
They might be more inclined to check economic statistics.
Correct.
And
but they also would, the black person in Harvard would also say, not say, that there is a, how should we say, that the land of Israel is a living organism.
True.
Right?
No, but I think that Ramban was very much, you know, that this was something that was very much around them.
Whoa.
But isn't it Ramban who says that you can't consult, but if you do, you have to listen?
What about the astrology?
Yeah.
It's definitely Asur to live your life based on astrology.
No, we believe there's mazel.
This is not your horoscope. We're not talking about your horoscope. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
Hold on. Okay.
Like the source that everybody quotes. In mazel Yisrael.
I have to look it up. I don't remember. I don't know.
But what we do wish them is a good mazel.
Mazal tov.
It is interesting. You know, or mazel.
Mazel and bracha every time you shake on a dance.
No, you can wish them good mazel, but you don't say that you have good. It's unchangeable.
Are there forces at work beyond which we can comprehend? This is a question, Mimi. Are there... Right. Stop. You can get me in trouble. Are there forces at work here beyond which we can comprehend? Sorry. All those listening at home, you can now hear the Israeli Air Force flying above us.
Israeli Air Force. The extras in Australia.
They haven't had you last night. It was crazy.
Right. There, what was going on?
I don't know. You get that one, Mina?
No, but it was like at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Are there forces at work? Meaning, and I don't mean bacteria, and I don't mean, you know, weather. Spiritual forces beyond which we cannot comprehend. Okay. Now, I submit to you that Rashi clearly believes that there are.
Right? And who?
Rashi, Chazal, clearly believes that there were. Right? Now, nonetheless. V'zeh shenema. This is what it means. Asher chelek Hashem elokecha otam l'chol ha'amim. What does it mean that Hashem, that our chelek is Hashem? Ki chilek l'kulam mazalot b'shamayim v'gvohim aleihem malachei elyon netanam liyot sarim aleihem. Every nation of the world got its own sar, ministering angel. Now, it doesn't matter how you envision this. Don't think of it, you don't have to think of it in the medieval Metropolitan Gallery of Art angel kind of thing.
With wings.
Right? Think of it in terms of a large spiritual bureaucracy. Okay? Every nation has its own spiritual desk. Okay? So France has the French desk. Okay? And if God wants to do something or interact with France, right, he sends a memo or an email, however you want to look at it, to the French desk and tells the guy upstairs in the French desk to take care of whatever it is he has to take care of. Okay? Kinyan shekatuv, as it says, Besar Malchut Paras Omeid LeNegdi. Like in Daniel, if anybody ever read the book of Daniel? You did? Yeah. What did you make out of it?
It's wild.
Wild. Crazy stuff, right? Okay. All right, and Daniel somehow said, the Sar of Paris descended on me. Yeah. See, and he says, Vinei Sar Yavan Basham, etc., etc. Vinikraim Malachim, Malachim, they're called kings, Yerichivani, Notarti, Sham, Itzel, Malchay Paras. Okay, very good. So now that we've established that track. Vinei Hashem Anichbad, Hu Helokei HaElokim, V'Adonei HaAdonim, L'chol HaOlam. And God is the, right, chief minister of the entire world. Aval Eretz Yisrael emtzaut ha-yishuv. What is yishuv?
What do we also know in civilization?
Hi nachalat Hashem miyuchedet lishmo. The land of Israel, through its habitation, is the inheritance of God, the nachala of Hashem, designated to His name.
Does that mean that Eretz Israel has no...
Lo natan aleha min hamalachim ksin shoter u-moshel. There's no Eretz Yisrael desk. There's no pakid in charge of Eretz Yisrael.
Because it's nachalat Hashem.
Right. Hamiyached shemo zera ohavav. Right? He has designated it as?
His.
That's his. And this is what it means. V'hiyitem li sigula mikol ha'amim. You shall be a sigula from all of the nations. Ki li kol ha'aretz. And see it again. It also says, Uchtiv, are you with me inside? Am I going too fast? V'hiyitem li la'am. You shall be for me a nation. V'anochi eyeh lachem l'elokim. And I'll be for you a god. Lo shiti yu atem el elohim acherim klal. No other gods. V'hine, behold. Kidei sha'am ha'yoshev ba'artso. B'kdushat ha'arayot. And he sanctified this nation with these prohibitions of arayot, of forbidden sexual relationships, and also with the majority of mitzvot, for his name's sake. Ulekach amar, and therefore he said, Ushmartem kol chukotai vet mishpatai vasitem otam, velo taki haaretz etchem. Right? And you shall fulfill these commandments. Meaning, your fulfillment of the commandments is connected to your ability to dwell in the land. Now, by the way, what is the Rambam doing? He's taking away the living organism part of the land of Israel to some degree. Meaning, he says that it's dependent specifically on our relationship with Hashem. That's okay. Uchtiv, and it says, Ve'omer lachem, and I say to you, Atem tishu et admatchem, you will inherit your land, V'ani et nera lachem l'reshet orta ani Hashem elokechem asher hivdalti etchem min ha'amim. I separated you from the nations. Yomar, meaning, ki hivdil otanu mikol ha'amim asher natan aleihem sarim ve'elohim acherim. He said, you're different. This place is different. How? Every other place has a sar, has a minister. This place doesn't. V'titzu lanu et ha'aretz Shiyahu Yitbarach Lanu Lelokim V'niyeh Miyuchadim Lishmo. And we shall be Miyuchad, designated, devoted to His name. V'hine Ha'aret Shiyah Nachalat Hashem Manichvad Takiko Mitameota. So therefore, meaning, this is the double-edged sword of having a close relationship with Hashem. And remember what happened when the Bnei Israel were at Har Sinai. What happened? And Israel sinned at Har Sinai. So what does Hashem say?
I'll destroy them.
And then after He decides not to destroy them, Hashem made a decision. He said, okay, we're going to continue on, and you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. But, and even if you remember this, He says, Hine anochi sholeach malach lefanecha. I'm sending an angel before you. Meaning what?
I'm not the one that's leading directly.
I'm not the one to be there. Why? Because if I'm in the midst of you and you do what? And you sin, what's going to happen? I'll destroy you. You're not going to make it. And what did Bnei Israel say to that? What did Moshe say to that? Anybody remember? Shemot? Anybody with me? Bnei Israel say to that? Mimi? This Yaakov's coming back to you. Right? What? You're thinking?
They signed on the deal.
They said, no malach. No way. They all cried. They threw down their jewelry. They were upset. And Hashem says, you guys are nuts. You're the most stubborn people I ever met. Thank you very much. Okay, right? You're taking a danger. You're taking a risk. Because on the one hand, if you want the benefit of Hashem being in your midst, there's also a danger. There's also a price to pay. I think about it in terms of, you know, like there's a certain, like a concept, like an out of sight, out of mind. When people are close to us, then the things that they do affect us. Right? If you want to have a close relationship with somebody, you better take into account how they're going to react to the things that you do. As opposed to, you know, like, so, oh no, your third cousin's going to be really upset that, you know, that you didn't have him over for dinner. Okay, he's my third cousin, big deal. He's not, they don't have that relationship. You know, we care more about the reaction of those who are close to us. Hashem says, do you want me to be close? You know, but that's the notion of having a Beit HaMikdash. We want a Beit HaMikdash, right? Shibana Beit HaMikdash Mehira, right? We really want the Beit HaMikdash. Are we ready to do the things that we have to do in order to make sure that it stays? Do we really want a Beit HaMikdash so much that we want Hashem in our midst that we're willing to give up the things that we'd have to give up and behave in the way that we'd have to behave in order to keep it? It's a question.
It's likely why it's not here yet.
Right.
That's
a good question. That's a chicken and an egg.
Reality,
that's a chicken and an egg.
Reality answers the question.
Maybe. Or one could say maybe we are supposed to be building it.
We're not told that if we were Shomer Mitzvah, like there are Nebuot, that if we were acting properly and we're in the land and we were listening, then we would get the Beit HaMikdash. Wrong.
I always wonder whether it's Hashem is waiting for us to build it or not. You know what I'm saying?
Today's controversy.
Right, it's a big controversy.
Whether it's given to us or whether we should...
The last two times we had to build it. Mm-hmm. So I'm unclear as to... What?
But they got destroyed.
Sure.
And we built it.
Right. Oh, so you mean you want Hashem to build this one?
Maybe it wasn't a good plan.
Well, was it Hashem's command? What is it? Was it his behest?
First. This
one, yeah.
First two. Right?
Why they got a nevuah? There's a nevuah
for the third one.
For the second one.
Sure, it wasn't
really.
Okay.
That's right. Ezra and Nehemiah.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe what we're really waiting for is Hashem to call somebody out and.
Well, the Rambam says Melech HaMashiach has to identify himself, like has to prove himself as such before he can build a Beit HaMikdash.
How does he do that?
By uniting all of the Jewish people in their wars.
Right.
It has to be done before the Beit HaMikdash is built.
Right. These are all huge machlokim about how it's going to be done. Okay, let's go on the Ramban because it gets to really important, even more important stuff. Okay. V'hine, how much time was? I'm still, okay. V'hine ha'aretz shi nachlat Hashem ha'nichbad takikom etameota. So then that why that the arts that is nachlat Hashem will vomit out anyone who defiles it. V'lo tisbol of the avodah zarah megalim arayot. And it will have no patience for people who worship idolatry and violate the arayot. V'haparsha hazot izkira ha-molech v'chlal avodah zarah im zichron ha-arayot. And this parsha also includes molech. Molech would be they would pass their children through fire. Not entirely sure if they would actually burn them or not, but kind of avodah zarah. V'ha-kulam amar, and on all of them it says, al titamu b'chol eile, ki b'chol eile nitmu agoyim v'ataki ha-aretz et yoshveh. Again, that the Torah repeated this notion of vomiting out its inheritance, its inhabitants. V'chein amar parsha shnia. It says in the next, in this week's parsha, so you could say that this is a pseudo shiur on this week's parsha. Because if you look and in this week's parsha, at the end of the parsha, it says, okay, v'hayitem li kedoshim. The end of parsha at kedoshim. That's not this week. Oh, my mistake. Sorry. The pasuk before Emor. Okay, that Hashem designated us to be His nation. Okay. They are designated because He gave them the land. Shneamar v'malachem atem tishu et admatchem v'ani et nena lechem l'reshet ota ani Hashem elokechem asher hivdalti atchem min ha'amim. So now you ask the question. It's again the chicken or the egg. Is it that Hashem said, "I want you to be my people, and therefore I'm giving you this land, and we'll make it holy," or this is Hashem's land, and He was saving it? And so He says, now that I gave you the Torah, I'm giving you my land. This is my place. And I'll let you stay with me. So which one do you want to pick? A or B? Don't
the land was holy before.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We see all the way back from the Avot that before any Jews were even in it, it was the land, Hamakamasher, and like he specifically wanted the Avot to go there, and the Avot didn't leave there, and Am Yisrael wasn't there yet.
Okay.
And unless you consider the one family that was Am Yisrael at the time, Am Yisrael.
Yeah, I'm with you on B. I am. Okay. Behine. This now gets very interesting. Bechutzal la'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz. This is like the... Maybe they should hit over your students, Rina. They're going to hit them with this Ramban.
I'm not touching
this. You're not touching this. Okay. Afal pi Hashem ha'nichbad. Even though we all do it for Hashem. Like, you know. Ein tahara ba'shleima. Ba'avor ha'mishartim ha'moshlim aleha. Right? The purity is not complete because of the mishartim. What are mishartim?
Servants.
Who are moshlim aleha.
Governing it.
What are these servants? What was he referring to, I think?
The desks.
The desks, right. The ministers. V'ha'amim to'im acharei sarehem lavod gamotam. And these nations follow their ministers to worship them. V'lachem yomar ha'katuv elohei pei kol ha'aretz yikra. They call them gods of the lands. Ki hu elokei elokim ha'moshel al hakol. Because God is the God of all the gods. V'yifkod basov al tzva ha'marom b'marom. V'asir memshelet elyonim v'laharos ma'arechet ha'mishartim. V'acharei ken yifkod al malchei adama ba'adama. The end of days will be when Hashem destroys all of these ministers and he takes over everything. Zeh winyana katuv shamar b'gzeirat imin pitgamaya u'ma'amar kadishin shilta. Read it in Daniel, you can figure it out yourself. Yomar, okay? Ki ha'davar ha'u nigzar Nebuchadnezzar gzeirat imin pitgama. That the thing that was decreed on Nebuchadnezzar was the gzeira of his desk. Okay, let's skip a little because I'm really not so good at this Daniel stuff. Okay? Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we are. Skip down to where it says, V'hu ma'amaram kol hadar. See, it's a little hard to find. About, I don't know how many lines you are. Depends where you are. You see where it says, V'huma amaram kol adar b'chutz la'aretz?
How many lines is it in your Chumash?
Maybe 20 lines in my Chumash. V'huma amaram, one second. V'huma amaram, here it says where k'tuvot, k'fiyud? Where are you? On the bottom of that side, of that page?
Yeah.
Here, right down here somewhere. Right there. Okay. Huma Maram, the rabbi said in the Gemara, Kol Hadar b'chutz la'aretz domeh kimi she'ein lo eloha. It's very, very harsh language. If you live in the land, in the chutz la'aretz, it's as if you don't have a God. Shne'amar, latei lachem et eretz kenan diot lachem elohim. I gave you the land to be a God for you. Okay? V'omer ki gershun hayom yistapech menachalat Hashem le'mor lech avod elohim acherim. Right, when you get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, it's like, go worship somebody else. I'm not interested in you. Okay? V'amru b'tosefta, it says, Harei v'omer v'shavti b'shalom abeit avi, v'haya Hashem li l'elokim. When Yaakov Avinu says, I'm leaving now to Eretz Yisrael, he says, when I come back there, when Hashem brings me back, I want Hashem to be for me a God. V'omer, l'ted lachem Eretz Kenan, kol zman sh'atem b'Eretz Kenan, ha'iti l'elokim l'elokim. Ein atem b'Eretz Kenan, kav yachol, ein ani lachem l'elokim. Very, very, what? It's very strong. Very strong.
This is from the Tosefta.
Wow, that's him now. This last part is him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very, very strong. Okay? V'cheinu omer.
Hashem's saying, I'm giving you, it's like if a child gets married and a parent buys them a house.
Yeah.
And puts all the investment into it and makes it, you know, special for the kids. And then the kids say, no thanks, I don't want to live there. I'd rather rent an apartment.
So I was in Oro yesterday, and I was talking with some ladies there.
Isn't it like that?
And she said, you know, most people I can understand. She said, but I really don't understand. How do the Rabbanim stay in America? I said, why? I said, that's harsh. She said, no, because the Rabbanim, they know the sources. They understand. I said, well, who's supposed to lead? She said, don't worry about them. It was, you know, not a simple thing. V'cheinu omer, ke'arba'im ela chalutei tzeba avudet ne'ashem, v'omer v'nechbesha ha'aretz ifne'ashem v'tayamo. V'chita leel datcha, Sheikh Yisrael Michavshin et Haaretz Ifnei HaMakom. You think that Jewish people conquered the land before God? Ela kol zman sheheim aleha ki'ilu hi mechubeshet. Ha'einam aleha einam mechubeshet. Right? If the Jews live in the land, it's considered like it's conquered, and if they don't, it's not. Okay, one second. Min ha'inyan hazeh amrei b'sifrei. In this context, they said in Sifrei, va'avadetem mehera, when God kicks you out. Even though I kick you out of the land, you still have to do the mitzvot. Why?
Mitzvot is
mitzuyanim
as an indicator, not mitzuyan like
the tzayim. Meaning what? Mitzuyanim, aware of, present.
Right.
Okay.
Kishetachzuru.
Hold on. Lo yu alechem chadashim. So they won't be new for you. Meaning, it's very interesting. If you look in Shema, it says, and then the second paragraph in Vahayayim Shemo, it says the same thing again. What's the difference? Why do we repeat all those same things about why? Put on tefillin, why do we say it the second time if Hashem already said it in the Shema? So Chazal say that one reason is because it could very well be that a person would think that outside the land of Israel, what's the purpose of doing the mitzvot? And Hashem says, you know what, you're right. So therefore, you still have to do the mitzvot. Why?
So you'll be used to it when you come back.
Correct. How did that speak? They don't like hearing that. What? They get really upset when they hear that. Okay.
Other than the ones that keep chadash, okay? All that's how you keep chadash.
What?
I remember learning this in seminary.
And you get very upset. How could you say this?
Yeah, that's a lot. Anybody who there's another one that says if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's like Kilu, you're obeyed.
You just said that. Kodesh Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael.
So yeah.
You
really let her have it.
Yeah. What do you mean? You let the teacher have it?
The teacher have it.
Yeah. And now? Right. Yeah.
I still understand it.
Now, by the way, where was Rambam when he wrote this?
I don't know.
Spain, of course. Yeah. He was talking about himself.
I understand that, but
maybe it could mean, because since we said that God is the one who's in charge of the Israel desk,
mm-hmm.
and the one who's in Spain, he's kind of reporting to, or his actions
absolutely.
Are being reported
that's
to
exactly
the
what he means. Doesn't mean
head of the Spain desk.
Correct. That's exactly what the Ramban is saying. That he's removed himself from Hashem in a very, very tangible, practical way. Okay, let's see, look at what he says. Mashal Adam, Sheka'as al Ishto. The guy who got mad at his wife. He says, I'm sick of you. Go to your house. Go home. Right? We got married. Didn't work out. Go back to your father's house. Amar la, but having mitkashete tashichim. But he says, while you're there, still put on makeup. Why? Kishetachziri lo yu alay chadashim. Because I don't want you to forget. When I bring you back here, you still have to know how to, you know, dress yourself nicely. What? V'chein, right, you make my coffee. V'chein amar yirmiyat, tzivi lach tzivnim, eila mitzvot shtreel mitzuyanim bahem. Okay? V'hine, hakatuv shamar, v'avadetem mehera, v'samtaya etem medevaraya eile, right, you'll be lost, you'll put these things, eino mechaye begalut, elu b'chovat haguf, kitfilin u'mezuzot. So you don't have to do all the mitzvot. What? Why? Because some of them are to the virus. Only the bodily mitzvot. U'pirshu bahem, and the reason they say this is, we grew up our whole lives putting on tefillin and doing mitzvah and all that stuff, etc., etc. So no, it's really like, so that you'll know, when you get to the land of Israel, you'll know how to do it.
Didn't you want the negatives that you do?
He says the word from the Chafetz Chaim. Hold on, I just want to. He ends up. I'll read to you because we're not going to find it. He goes on and on and on. Obviously, you sort of get the idea. And he says, look, the Ein Rashut, the Faresh Be'inyan Ha'aretz Yoter Miseh, is I am not permitted to describe more than this. What? You hear what he says there?
Every time he says that, I'm
not Aval, no, he doesn't say, he says, Aval Im Tizkel Lahavin Ha'aretz HaRishonah Nizkeret BePasuk Bereshit. If you understand, go look at Bereshit, And if you understand, if you merit to understand what it means by that, v'nizkeret b'parshat im b'chukotai, and if you understand what it says in b'chukotai, teida sod nizga v'ne'elam. Then you'll understand. Right. He's saying,
he doesn't explain it in Bereshit.
He doesn't. No. He said, but listen, if you understand, look over here, look over there.
And if you can,
if you can get it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And if you don't, can't help it.
Did he ever say for Kabbalah?
Everything for Ramban is Kabbalah.
Not okay, but I mean, it's specifically in his commentary here,
about Eretz Yisrael?
He never, ever explains. Did he ever write when we actually explained
it? No, because this is not something you can explain.
No, but he knew it. He knew it.
It has
it. And then he goes to the end and says,
okay. Okay, this is my favorite Eretz Yisrael book that I read all the time. I gave a shiur on it in America. This is a book called Orot, obviously, of Rav Kook. Very, very famous, very important book. The problem with Orot is it's really hard to understand. I mean, really, really, really hard to understand. It's very, very strange, very, very poetic. It's the kind of learning that you have to, again, you have to open your mind. You have to free your mind and allow it to sort of flow over you. Because Rav Kook, he doesn't say things. He talks about them in a very poetic way. And so Rav Avinir put together this series that they're still working on of books, which are Shiurim of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who was Rav Kook's son, on Orot. So he basically gives the Shiurim, basically it's a transcript of the Shiurim of Rav Tzvi Yehuda on, and it's great. But Rav Tzvi Yehuda goes on lots of tangents that he mentions in the footnotes. So he says, I'm going to read you the footnote, and I'm going to wrap up. Va'avadete mehera. So it goes, and he gives this whole mashal that appears in the Ramban. Okay? Blah, 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 blah. Chenu mer, okay. Chenu amer. Im eshkechech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini shiti libcha lemesila b'derech halacht. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. To God says to Israel, banai, children, re'u be'elu drachim halachtem v'asu tshuva miyadatam chozim la'arechem. Okay, immediately you'll go back to your land. And then Amar, and it says, "Gam b'mitzvot kayemet havchana b'mitzvot atuliyot ba'aretz, mitzvot she'enam tuliyot ba'aretz, aval gam po tzorich lizkor." You have to remember also, she'b'muvan haklali, in the general understanding, ha'mitzvot she'en tuliyot ba'aretz, gam hein tuliyot ba'aretz. So listen, you normally think that there are two kinds of mitzvot, like Shemitah, which can only be done in Israel, and Tefillin, which you can do anywhere. He says, no. Even the mitzvot, like tefillin, which you think are not dependent on the land of Israel, they're also mitzvot tuluyot ba'aretz. And he brings the Ramban, etc., etc. Okay, and he brings the quote, meaning, even though you're kicked out of land, continue to do mitzvot. Why? So that they won't be new to you. Yesh erech l'chol ha-mitzvot kulam ve'otam mizah shehen chozrot l'chlal shel mika amcha Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. You have to think about the mitzvot in a different context. This is the way I understand this idea. That when the Jewish people are living in the land of Israel as an Am, and this is the important way of understanding it, then the mitzvot take on a whole different context and a whole different meaning. Meaning, we think about mitzvot as religious obligations that a person has to do because of his relationship to God. But now start thinking of mitzvot as part of our national identity, part of who we are as a people, part of who we are in fulfilling our role in the world. That doesn't happen, it cannot happen in Oak Park, Michigan. It can only happen when we fulfill the mitzvot in the context of Am Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael. It's the same act, but it's fundamentally and qualitatively different, a different act. Okay? Okay, one second. I'm skip a lot because we're out of time. Okay, he quotes the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim always said, here. Kedusha mitzvot ishit prati. This kind of mitzvah tefillin, right? People usually think of tefillin as a personal mitzvah. Zehu davar tzodek, hegyoni v'amiti mod. It seems correct because that's the most personal mitzvah there is. Okay, it's the opposite of mitzvah. Aval gam mitzvah hazot. This commandment, she kol kach prati. It's so personal, so private. He mitgalit b'mitziyuta hashlema be'eretz Yisrael. It only finds its expression, its complete expression, in Eretz Yisrael. Umikan the bitui shel Chafetz Chaim, he says, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, Kiyum mitzvah ba'aretz, fulfilling a commandment in Israel, hi pi esrim me'asher b'chutz la'aretz. It's 20 times more valuable than in Chutz La'aretz. Kasher otam mitzvah mitkayamet mitoch shayachut limkor haklal Yisraeli. Azay yesh la'erch bekiflei kiflayim. He says, because in the context of the mitziut haklal Yisraeli, it's that much more worthwhile. And this is all, that's the quote of the Chafetz Chaim that they quote all the time.
Which means that thematically it makes more sense. If your goal in life is to rack up as many points as possible, then mathematically you should live in Israel.
Yeah, because I mean that's what he would say. 20. I mean, who knows how much more it's valuable it is.
But there are also more mitzvahs that we do here.
More mitzvahs that you can do.
There
but he's saying that
many more mitzvahs.
Many mitzvahs you can do, but the mitzvahs themselves are fundamentally, qualitatively, exponentially.
Quantitatively,
exponentially more valuable because they're done in the context. Think about, I mean,
a thing of points. You get one point for
each
Shabbos.
Like, it's preseason versus regular season.
But that's what
it's the same. Isn't the same game? The same game, same team, same guys. One day
versus the finals,
and then the other day it counts to the record. Why does it count? What makes it? What?
It's not the same game.
I'm sorry, you keep the same kashrut and the same prohibitions that you did in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, there's more to worry about. True. But the tefillin that your husband puts on is no different than the tefillin he puts on in Chutz La'aretz. Exactly the same tefillin. Same arm. Same guy. But says Tzvi Yehuda, says Rav Kook, it's fundamentally different.
Do you get more points because I think some mitzvahs are harder to keep in this land? For instance, learning. It's both mother and father have to work.
I think you get more points for that.
You don't have enough you have less time.
I would say yes. That is more mitzvah. That's more credit too. But then think about it. Let's say it was exactly the same in another place. Mm-hmm. It was equally hard. It would still be fundamentally more valuable, much more valuable here, even if it wasn't harder. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he's saying. It's in a different context, in a different place. And this is the Ramban. This is whole time. It's a critical Ramban just to be aware of. You know, it's easier now than when you're in seminary and you're about to go back. No, it's impossible. I can't accept it. You know, kids are they're not ready for this kind of more abstract thinking to sort of accept things in that way. And it is very preachy. In a sense. And you're putting them in a position where it's you're basically guilting them into making Aliyah, but it's...
It worked in Ishmael.
But not everybody agrees with the Rambam.
Some rabbis weren't even open to
this. This is the Ramban?
No.
Chumash?
Or Rock. By Rabbi Cook, I'm sorry.
No, right, I don't care if you open the book. This is Chumash. That's my point. This is the Ramban. You can't, nobody says, well, Ramban is wrong. What they'll say is,
they might disagree with him.
About this? Yeah. This is not something where you say it's wrong. By the way, he's quoting Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol Adar B'Yisrael
and no, but see, opposite, Rashi's wrong.
That's usually in the interpretation of a pasuk. Here he's a much more broad tangent. Okay, we'll stop here because we're out of time. We're out of time already. I appreciate your patience. I just felt that we didn't learn Kedoshim. It's very fascinating. I just want to point out, these parshiot always come around what time of the year?
Yeah.
Yom Atzmaut. Always. Around that. It's like, I find that, and when I get to it, it's like it's very powerful because it speaks to you. It's like, whoa, you know, it's interesting. And so it's worthwhile. Around Yom Atzmaut, last week we did not meet for Yom Atzmaut, but we would have read this parsha of Yom Atzmaut at this time, and it's worthwhile to be aware of it, just have a sense of appreciation.
Actually,
you know, just I'll wrap up that we sacrifice. We're here. We sacrifice to be here, and it's very. We don't see the tangible results of the sacrifice, but
not
you have
right
to.
Away, but eventually,
even if you never see the tangible, the intangibles are there, and you should be aware of that. Let's stop. Yeah.